control booth, the engineer turned down the applause track. "Brothers and sisters, thank you, thank you. Wasn't that beautiful? And remember, you can hear that song and others just as edifying on Jesus Is My Buddy. Just phone 0800-CASH and pledge your donation now." He became more serious. "Brothers and sisters, I've got a message for you all, an urgent message from our Lord for you all, man and woman and little babe. Friends, let me tell you about the apocalypse. It's all there in your Bible, in the revelation of our Lord gave St. John on Patmos, and in the book of Daniel. The Lord always gives it you straight, friends, your future. So what's going to happen? War, plague, famine, death, rivers of blood, great earthquakes, nuclear missiles. Horrible times are coming, brothers and sisters, and there's only one way to avoid them. Before the destruction comes, before the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride out, before the nuclear missiles rain down on unbelievers, there will come the rapture. What's the rapture, I hear you cry? When the rapture comes, brothers and sisters, all the true believers will be swept up in the air. It don't mind what you're doing. You could be in a bath. You could be at work. You could be driving your car or just sitting at home reading your Bible. Suddenly you'll be up there in the air in perfect and incorruptible bodies. And you'll be up in the air looking down at the world as the years of destruction arrive. Only the faithful will be saved. Only those of you who have been born again will avoid the pain and the death and the horror and the burning. Then will come the great war between heaven and hell, and heaven will destroy the forces of hell, and God shall wipe away the tears of the suffering, and there shall be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain, and he shall reign in glory for ever and ever. He stopped suddenly. "Well, nice try," he said, in a completely different voice, "only it won't be like that at all. Not really. I mean, you're right about the fire and war and all that. But that rapture stuff, well, if you could see them all in heaven, serried ranks of them as far as the mind can follow and beyond, league after league of us, flaming swords, all that. Well, what I'm trying to say is, who has the time to go around picking people out and popping them up in the air and to sneer at the people dying of radiation sickness on the parched and burning earth below them? If that's your idea of a morally acceptable time, I might add. And as for that stuff about heaven inevitably winning, well, to be honest, if it were that cut and dried, there wouldn't be a celestial war in the first place, would there? It's propaganda, pure and simple. We've got no more than a 50% chance of coming out on top. You might as well send money to a Satanist hotline to cover your bets. Although, to be frank, when the fire falls and the seas of blood rise, you lot are all going to be civilian casualties either way. Between our war and your war, they're going to kill everyone and let God sort it out, right? Anyway, sorry to stand here wittering. I've just a quick question. Where am I?" Marvin O. Bagman was gradually going purple.
"It's the devil. Lord, protect me. The devil is speaking through me,"
he erupted and interrupted himself. "Oh, no, quite the opposite, in fact. I'm an angel." "Ah, this has to be America, doesn't it? So sorry, can't stay." There was a pause. Marvin tried to open his mouth, but nothing happened. Whatever was in his head looked around. He looked at the studio crew, those who weren't phoning the police or sobbing in corners. He looked at the grey-faced cameraman. "Gosh," he said. "Am I on television?" Crowley was doing 120 miles an hour down Oxford Street. He reached into the glove compartment for his spare pair of sunglasses and found only cassettes. Irritably, he grabbed one at random and pushed it into the slot. He wanted Bach, but he would settle for the Travelling Wilburys. "All we need is Radio Gaga," sang Freddie Mercury. "All I need is out," thought Crowley. He swung around the Marble Arch roundabout at the wrong way, doing 90. Lightning made the London skies flicker like a malfunctioning fluorescent tube. "A livid sky on London," Crowley thought, "and I knew the end was near. Who had written that? Chesterton, wasn't it? The only poet in the 20th century to even come close to the truth." The Bentley headed out of London while Crowley sat back in the driver's seat and thumbed through the singed copy of The Nice and Accurate Prophecies of Agnes Nutter. Near the end of the book, he found a folded sheet of paper covered in Aziraphale's neat copperplate handwriting. He unfolded it while the Bentley's gear stick shifted itself down to third and the car accelerated round a fruit lorry which had unexpectedly backed out of a side street. And then he read it again. Then he read it one more time with a slow, sinking feeling at the base of his stomach. The car changed direction suddenly. It was now heading for the village of Tadfield in Oxfordshire. He could be there in an hour if he hurried. Anyway, there wasn't really anywhere else to go. The cassette finished, activating the car radio. "Gardener's Question Time coming to you from Tadfield Gardening Club. We were last here in 1953, a very nice summer, and as the team will remember, it's a rich Oxfordshire loam in the east of the parish, rising to chalk in the west,